Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 7, if you would. Genesis chapter 7. I've got three different texts this morning, so hour for each one, we ought to be out by 2:30. No, I promise I won't do that. But I think God's invitation to all peoples is wonderful. That God didn't select certain few to be saved and certain people to be lost. It's God's will that none perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I thank God for that. So if you've got missions on your mind this morning, you got the right mind, because we want to just focus upon God's invitation for all people. In Genesis chapter 7, we preached last week on the sixth chapter, how that God told Noah to build an ark and to get ready, because the earth was filled with violence and the meditation of every person's heart was only evil continually. And only Noah and his family responded to the grace of God, and those were the only ones that were saved through a worldwide judgment. But now it's time for Noah to not only preach and not only to build, but it's time for him to enter and do what God said. Chapter 7 of Genesis, verse 1, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven of every clean animal, a male and his female, two of each animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Also seven of each birds of the air, male and female, to keep species alive on the face of all the earth. After seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. He obeyed. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would just minister, God, to hearts and souls today. God, instruct us in righteousness, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's invitation of all. God told Noah, said, all right, you've built the ark, you've preached to the people, now it's time to get on board, to enter the ark. Amen. And so that's what Noah did. He lived in obedience, even though it hadn't rained. It didn't look like it was going to rain probably for a long time. But yet he entered the ark, he and his family. And that's how many were saved, 8. And so the message of salvation has not changed. By God telling Noah to enter the ark, he was saying, I'm giving you an invitation to be saved from the judgment of this world. And so he did the same thing through Christ when he invited us to come into him. Amen. Come all to me. And so he's inviting people to be saved and not suffer judgment, because you see, Jesus suffered judgment on the cross for our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace, and with his stripes we were healed. Praise God. But the Savior's work on the cross has not changed. His sacrificial death and to redeem mankind hasn't changed. God's invitation for people to receive forgiveness, eternal life, and pardon for sin, deliverance from sin, hadn't changed. And God's love for lost mankind has not changed. But the church must send the good news of the gospel to the ends of the earth. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also to the Gentiles. And so we know that he told the church at Rome that, but yet he tells everybody that, whether Jew or Gentile, every race, every language, every tribe, every tongue, God made opportunity and made salvation available, redemption available to all people of all times. Praise the Lord. And so God, first of all, graciously invites mankind to share in his deliverance. God said to Noah, come into the ark. I found you righteous in this generation. Not that they were sinlessly perfect, but they had responded to God's call to get right with God and to be right with God and to live for God. And so Noah and that generation were given opportunity to escape judgment and receive mercy. Sadly, all of the world except for these 8 chose judgment instead of mercy. And when a person rejects Jesus Christ, they're choosing judgment instead of mercy, because God has mercy on us. And God has mercy in the sense that he provided a means of escape for you and I from judgment. And our generation as well is invited to escape certain judgment that will come to this world. And I believe that judgment is coming to this world because God sees the world, and it's the time that God will choose. Maybe has already chosen. He says he's at appointed a time when he will judge the world in righteousness by Christ. And so there is a time set that God is going to say it's enough and judgment must come. God is never anxious to judge. God is willing and gracious to offer salvation, offer grace, offer deliverance. And he chooses to do so. Thank God for that. And that's the message of every missionary, send the light. And the message of every missionary is saying, get on board, get right with God, come into the ark, so to speak. And send the light before it is too late. He's telling the church to do that. Send the light before it's too late. Foolishly, our generation of people in society today, they mock at God's judgment as a myth or atheism or universalism, that all will be saved no matter what. There's some people that teach that. Our world is in the worship of self and materialism and other gods, things that are put in the place of the one true God. That's what idolatry is, when you replace one true God with something or somebody else. Amen. But yet, God graciously invites us to come into the ark. He invites us to, number two, escape from judgment. Here the ark would be the only means of escape. Noah's preaching had gone, and people did not respond. He had the least church growth of any church seminar there is. But God gave them time and space to repent, and yet they did not believe. And they did not believe the ark that God was Noah was building was going to save them from judgment. They did not believe there was a flood coming on this earth. Basically, they were plagued with unbelief. They did not believe that a judgment was coming upon this world. They ate, they drank, they married, they gave in marriage. They continued on the normal way of life until the day that the rains of judgment began to fall upon the earth. And my friend, I can tell you there will be a time when it's too late to repent, a time when it's too late to believe and escape judgment. Here, no one listened to Noah. No one listened to his message that there was grace in the eyes of the Lord and God would grant grace if there was true repentance. But there will be a time when it's too late. A world that has rejected Jesus Christ for too long, too many times, too many years, and too much space that God has given to repent. Amen. In our day, belief with atheism is on the rise, unbelief. A day when Christianity is mocked by many. There's many people that don't believe there's an eternal hell. They don't believe there's a little burning hell. I believe there is. I believe the Bible teaches that. And so it's not that God is anxious to send people there. I've heard some preachers preach like they're glad for people to go there. I don't want anybody to go there. I want people to be born again of God's Spirit. We don't want the judgment of God to fall on anybody. And Jesus thought so much of it, he died and gave his life to be a pardon for sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So unbelief plagues our day. And when the church has become so weak in speaking of judgment because we don't want to offend anybody, let me tell you something. Jesus offended people wherever he went because he preached the truth. It's not that we stand here trying to offend people, but when you tell people they're doing wrong and need to turn and do right, they're offended that somebody thought something was wrong with them. Just let me help you here a little bit. Something's wrong with everybody here today unless Jesus comes in and makes it right. All have sinned, including me. All have sinned if fallen short of the glory of God, so therefore there's a need in everybody's life for God. We are not a people that are absent of the need for God. God created us for fellowship with him, and we're never complete until we do have fellowship with him. God graciously has provided means when we can have fellowship with him. Christianity is mocked by many people when the church has become weak in speaking of judgment to come. You know, I think there is a certain amount of things that we're seeing in society today, and I don't say this in a prophetic sense, but just in observation of Scripture, many things happen. Many people are being killed and murdered, and things are happening. It's always happened, and because people are in love with self and in love with the world instead of in love with Jesus, and people are interested in temporary things more than their eternal soul. And there's, you know, these tragedies happen, like the shooting in California or Florida. Probably one in California too, but anyway, that things happened. it makes us know, everything that does happen makes us know we need God. We don't need to teach a society that there is no God. We don't need to teach a school children there's no such thing as a Bible and God's Word. We don't need to teach adults or young people or old people that the Word of God doesn't matter. God's Word does matter. Matter of fact, in the end, that's the only thing that will matter, what you've done with Christ. And so there's many people that just do not have any concern for their soul. The last time I checked, everybody's going to die physically. If that doesn't make you feel good, let me help you. Jesus died to give us eternal life, that we might be born again of His Spirit, the Spirit and man within us be born again, we right with God, and that there will be a resurrection in the end time, that God will resurrect us. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that. But escape from judgment. But people get so adapted to this world, and they get in love with the world, and therefore many times they're not in love with Christ like they should be. In Luke chapter 12, verse 16, Jesus tells a simple parable there where He said, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, 'What shall I do since I have no room to store my crops?'" Agricultural society, he made a bumper crop. "So he said, 'This I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Now, there was nothing wrong with a man prospering at all. But what he did and what he earned became his God. And he had no thought of the afterlife, or that life could suddenly end and he could be in eternity. The Bible says, "God said to him, 'You fool, this night your soul will be required of you, and who shall these things be which you have provided?'" And he's saying, Jesus is saying to him, if you've got everything here in this life, it doesn't matter if you're going to enter eternity tomorrow or tonight or today. It matters what you've done with God. And today in our age, in the age of grace, it matters what you've done with Jesus Christ. It matters to this world what it's done with Jesus Christ. I believe judgment is coming upon this world. And I don't believe in standing here and telling you there's not any good news. There is good news. The good news is Jesus died, rose again from the dead, is exalted to the right hand of the Father, and promised He's coming soon. Hallelujah. So there is good news. Praise the Lord. And so God is long-suffering. God is patient, much more patient than you and I. Has given generous opportunity. And will continue to do so until He says it's time to bring judgment. And God has given faith as a requirement to escape judgment. I'm not talking about some preacher that's saying, if you've got enough faith, you can have this, you can have that, or you can have so much money or so much. I'm talking about faith to believe in for your salvation, that your soul will be in the hands of the Lord if you die, when you die. And the people of that day, they either believed that judgment was coming or they persisted in unbelief. And so many of them were destroyed by the flood. All of them were destroyed by the flood. And I don't care what archaeological science says today, every mountain and every hill and every tip of every mountain was covered with water, and everything living on the earth died. And if they didn't believe that, then they underwent the judgment of God. But today, faith is still required. You either believe and prepare, or you will be condemned eternally. You can't sort of believe or sort of be saved. You either are or you're not. Man, you're either sheep or goat. Amen. You're either saved or lost. And God is calling today. Today people refuse Christ while the Holy Spirit is still calling. And I would hate to think that the Holy Spirit would not call or not deal with me or with you anymore. But He does. The Bible says when He has come, the Holy Spirit, He's come to tell the people of convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. To tell people what the wages of sin is. And to make them know that they can have no righteousness of their own will get them to heaven. And that judgment is coming, and that's all that's left. So we must do something with Jesus Christ. Everybody will do something with Jesus Christ, either receive Him or reject Him. And The church is also warned about this in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, "Beware, brethren, lest any be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." The Hebrew Christians here, they were tempted to go back to Judaism and reject Christ. In so doing, they would forfeit their salvation. But it says here, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." You can't jump ship in the middle and still be saved. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. Only one escaped in Noah's day, one family, because judgment is certain. And we move further on in the New Testament, the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. If you're worried about me getting to the end, you know it's only a few books to Revelation. 2 Peter 3 and 3. The writer here says, "Knowing first that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust." Now these are false prophets and false teachers, people probably who one time had an experience with God but turned from it and backslid and began to concentrate on the dollar bill instead of Christ. Okay? "Scoffers coming in the last days," those are mockers, saying, "Where is the promise of his return?" "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that the word of God, the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, that the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water." They forget that this whole world was covered in water by judgment one time, that God did that. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. But the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God's invitation is still, come into the ark, come into Christ. Get right with God today. Don't put it off. Don't wait till a better day. Amen. Don't wait till another time. God is long-suffering. He is patient. But one day judgment will surely come to this world. And I want to be ready to escape. My friend, if you've got Jesus in your heart, you're covered by the blood of Christ. You're covered by the righteousness of God. And God will accept you in his kingdom because you're covered with the righteousness of his Son. You cannot be righteous enough, but Christ in us is righteous enough. And the only good thing in you and I is Christ in us. Amen. And he is good. Praise the Lord. He is accepted by the Father. Jesus shed his blood on Calvary, and the Father accepted that blood to be the permanent and total salvation and payment for sin. Amen. Praise the Lord. Scoffers, mockers, willingly ignorant. Amen. Here the sense seems to be that they would treat with derision or contempt the predictions respecting the Savior, the advent of our Savior, and the end of the world. You know, they might say, nothing has happened since all this time. The mockers may respond, why should we expect the Lord's return? And there are people today that mock the idea of the Lord's return. If you want to know where I stand on that, let me tell you something. I believe that Jesus could come right now. He could. And I believe we ought to live every day like he's coming today, because he will come one day. Peter again reminded his readers of the need to remember what Christ taught, what the apostles and prophets taught and prophesied about. And those are the oracles of God. Amen. And so, the invitation was, come into the ark. Jesus gave a similar invitation in Matthew 11:28, when he was dealing with the legalisms of the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they claimed to be righteous, and they had rules they had made up, scores of rules they had made up. And you weren't righteous or good enough to enter heaven unless you abided by their rules. They added to the word of God. Let me give you one example. Amen. I realize this is right before lunch, but they were an agricultural society, and any way of moving the dirt or any way of plowing or putting a plow on the ground on the Sabbath day was considered a sin that would forever ban you from the presence of God. And so here's a legalistic rule. You couldn't spit on the Sabbath day on the ground because it moved the dirt. That's how foolish legalism gets you after a while. But they had these rules, and they made it so hard that they couldn't get them in themselves, much less let anybody else in. And so Jesus said in that context, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus is saying, through me, you can have peace in your heart. You have rest in your soul, that if I come tonight or if you die today, you can be right with God and enter into heaven. That's the grace of God. Praise the Lord for grace. And Jesus spoke words of brought hope, life, and peace. And his invitation was, come to me. His invitation was, in so many words, enter the ark. Come into me and you can be saved. Without that, people had no peace, no certainty of heaven and eternal life. You see, religion alone could not today provide mankind peace concerning eternity. And I'm glad Jesus can. Word of God says, Romans 5:1, therefore being justified, declared not guilty by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I can believe Jesus did it all on Calvary. Amen. That doesn't give me the right to live according to the carnal flesh, but it gives me the right to look to Jesus, who is perfect, to be my perfection. Amen. And his invitation is clear. Praise the Lord. And in the last chapter of the book, or last book of the Bible, amen, words of God are very clear with an invitation. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him as athirst come. And whoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Praise God. He is saying it's free. Salvation is free for all. Amen. In the next to the last verse, verse 20 of Revelation 22, he said, surely I am coming quickly. I don't believe that means a certain period of time on the time clock. But he's saying when it happens, it'll happen suddenly. And you be ready to meet. He says that three times in the 22nd chapter of Revelation. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Must be ready if he comes now, today, or tomorrow, whenever it is. Let's live for God today. Let's spread the gospel, the good news, to the ends of the earth while we still have day where we can do this. Amen.